Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Rollins step back three. Bullseye on the other side. Ryan Rollins says, Steph Curry, I'll see you 1-3 and hit you with another.
Bucks talk starts now.
Ryan puts it on the floor with Butler on him. He fires away from three and he knocks it down. Ryan Rollins.
And now live from Fiserv Forum, here's Justin Garcia.
Well, this one will forever be remembered as the Ryan Rollins game, and it feels like we've said that twice already this season, but he just keeps outdoing himself. 32 points, a new career high, tremendous defense all night on Steph Curry, and that's the other thing, too. We mentioned at the end of the broadcast, Doc made the point as well, that needs to be put up there as much as the 32-point performance from Ryan Rollins. If you're going to mention how much he scored, also mention the defense that he played, because that, to me, is the most impressive part of all of this. The workload he had to take on defensively to be able to score at the rate that he did efficiently, 13 of 21 from the field, 5 of 7 on threes, some ice water through Ryan Rollins' veins all night long. He hit the big shots to propel the Bucks in this win and ultimately slammed the door shut on the Warriors. But he did all of this while defending Steph Curry. And yes, Steph got to 27 points. 8 of 19 shooting, 4 of 10 on 3. 7 of those 27 came at the free throw line. Ryan Rollins wasn't the only defender on Steph Curry, but you could feel his presence. And as we heard Doc Rivers say after the game, Ryan can defend any guard in this league. You saw his length and how much it could disrupt things. You've seen a more physical and aggressive player on both ends of the floor. Look, I don't think Ryan Rollins at this point in his career is a 25 points per game scorer, so surely there's going to be some type of regression to the mean. But we do need to reevaluate the expectations, because, look, I was very high on Ryan Rollins coming into this season. And my expectations were that Ryan Rollins is going to be maybe your best role player, maybe your best player coming off the bench to carve out that niche, and a guy that's like, hey, could we be talking about Ryan Rollins as a potentially best case scenario, a sixth man of the year type? If Ryan Rollins keeps this performance up, in many ways, it reminds you of what Dyson Daniels did a season ago, but we've seen, albeit through a small sample size of 5 games, much more efficient offense from 3 levels of the floor from Ryan Rollins than we did all of last season from Dyson Daniels. So to that point, you keep playing like this, you're in conversation for the most improved player in the league, and it just shines a light on how much this team has transformed seemingly overnight, you know, through the course of an offseason, the makeup of this group. Some interesting comments that Giannis made after the win against the Knicks. I do want to dig into some more comments from Doc Rivers about Kevin Porter Jr., who the Bucks, of course, are playing without right now with an ankle sprain. And what do you do when Kevin Porter Jr. is healthy, and what types of decisions need to be made there? So we will get to all of that throughout the course of tonight's show. But another masterpiece from Ryan Rollins in a 120-110 victory over the Golden State Warriors in a game where, for all intents and purposes, the Warriors were healthy. De'Anthony Melton's the only one that was out for the Golden State Warriors. He's not going to play until maybe December, in all likelihood. The Bucks didn't have Giannis. The Bucks still don't have their starting point guard. The Bucks lost their other point guard in Cole Anthony, falling out of the game early in the fourth quarter. We continue to see this group stack impressive wins. I know it's only 5 games, but man, does this feel different than it did the last couple of seasons. 855-616-1620 is the WTMJ Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Another Ryan Rollins game, and more of what we've seen from the new look Bucks. We'll dig into those topics coming up after this. 120-110, final score tonight. Bucks beat the Golden State Warriors to start the season 4-1. a 2-8 start through the first 10 games a season ago. I think it's important to point this out. It is obviously early. You were, what, 5% of the way through the season coming into tonight? A lot can change in the next 77 games, individually and as a team. But these games are important. They all count in the standings. And just go back to last year with his 2-8 start that the Bucks had. Remember a defiant Doc Rivers at that same podium saying, "We're going to make the playoffs. I'm not concerned about that," even though I'm sure there was a lot of skepticism outside of Milwaukee, outside of Wisconsin, even some Bucks fans that thought, "Boy, is this really it with this team?" They made the playoffs. They weren't the seed they hoped to be, right? And you get the 5 seed. If they were to go, 6-4 instead of 2-8, which I point that out because, well, for a couple of reasons. Like, number one, if they went 6-4 in the first 10 games, they're the 3 seed. So then you're talking about probably the Pistons as your first round matchup, and I like that matchup for the Bucks. And then what do you know? This 3-year now drought of getting out of the first round of the playoffs, it's no longer a thing. Maybe you even get a favorable matchup in the second round. Who knows? But that's the impact that those early games can have, right? If you dig yourself too much of a hole, it's not game over. It doesn't end your season, but it puts you in a precarious spot. So that was an anchor attached to the Bucks throughout the course of the season. I think you're seeing other teams go through similar things. Now, it remains to be seen if it reaches like levels of 2-8 so far, but we're seeing other teams that had some pretty high expectations get off to slow starts. The Hawks are 2-3. It's not 2-8, but you looked at the schedule Atlanta had, you didn't think they'd be 2-3. And Trae Young just went down. The Raptors are 1-4, a team that, you know, I remember talking to some people in Toronto covering the team who thought it was crazy when I suggested, I think the Bucks will be fine. I think they're going to finish in front of the Raptors. Their expectations were to compete and be a playoff team and finish in that 4 or 5 range. The Indiana Pacers, I think this next month is going to be telling for the Pacers. Like, number one, they don't have Miles Turner. They don't have Tyrese Halliburton. And now they're starting to get other injuries hit. Their top 6 players, basically, from a season ago, have been in and out or out, period, to start things off here. TJ McConnell goes down. Obi Toppin goes down. Other injuries starting to mount for that team. They're 0-4. And I say this next month is interesting because if it starts to go off the rails, as of this moment, this isn't the thought pattern in Indianapolis, but they own their first round pick. Like, that was one of the things a lot of us circled last year in the finals when the Pacers quietly made that trade with the Pelicans. And you talk about a couple of could we have a do-over here, New Orleans on that one, made that trade to get their pick back this year. So the summer of 2026, that opens the door for you to say, if we keep losing games, if injuries become a thing, we know Tyrese Halliburton isn't playing this season. We don't have a center to replace Miles Turner. Is it a bad thing to keep losing and see if we can strike rich in this draft class, which by all accounts appears to be a pretty good one? So they're off to a slow start. The Magic finally won again tonight. They're 2-4. The point is, there's some of these teams that aren't where they expected to be. Even you can make a case for Cleveland and New York to be 3-2 and 2-2 respectively, when those were the two teams everybody said, these are clearly the two best teams in the conference. This is your opportunity to build up that margin and to say, look, these games count. Let's win while other teams are struggling, and it means they got to do even more to pass us. Where even if that team does, it's going to take a lot. And we've also built in enough where, hey, if our expectations, and to be clear, I don't think the Bucks would ever tell you their expectations were a 4 or a 5 seed here. I think they would say they were much greater than that. But if those were your expectations for this team, hey, maybe they can get the 5 seed again. A fast start means the 3 seed is in play. Maybe even greater than that if this team proves to be what we've seen through 5 games, something close to that over the course of 82 games. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Again, you get another career high 32 points from Ryan Rollins. I mentioned this on the show after the Knicks game. Any team in the league could have had Ryan Rollins. Any team could have gone out and signed him. Now, there were connections here. The Bucks didn't want to lose him, and there was communication throughout. So just to rewind it, Ryan Rollins was a restricted free agent. So in other words, another team could sign him to an offer sheet, but the Bucks had the first right of refusal. They could match that offer sheet. So it would really take the Bucks saying, we no longer want you, for Ryan Rollins to not be here. But when they waived and stretched Damian Lillard to create this cap space to sign Miles Turner, just that move wasn't enough to clear up the space to do so. They also had to renounce Ryan Rollins' rights. So you have these things called cap holds, where there's an expected salary based off of a raise from the previous year or what the average salary for your position is. That's applied to your roster until you sign that player or renounce his rights and it's removed. So the Bucks had to remove that cap hold of Ryan Rollins to get enough room to sign Miles Turner. Doing that makes him an unrestricted free agent. Now, I would assume, and based on the fact that Ryan Rollins is still a member of the Milwaukee Bucks, I think it's a pretty safe assumption, there was communication all throughout the process of, look, we got to do this. Don't worry. Don't overreact. It's a financial move for the time being. We want you back here. As soon as we get the Miles Turner deal done, then we're going to revisit these conversations and bring you back. But it still puts you in a tough spot where there's none of that protection. Anyone can go get him. And the other tricky part is, you know, this isn't a Damian Lillard, for example, type player hitting the market where in theory, yeah, you could take the minimum. But as we saw, Damian Lillard did not net the minimum. It was a mid-level exception. So it's not as though we're talking about, yeah, this is a guy that anybody can sign, but you're going to need $10 million or that $14 million mid-level amount. This is basically the minimum that you signed Ryan Rollins for on a 2-year deal for $4 million. Anyone could have done that. There are going to be 29 other teams, and maybe the one the Bucks played tonight who drafted Ryan Rollins and first had him in the organization is one of those teams that looks at this and says, man, why didn't we make a push for this guy based on what he's showing in flashes and glimpses last season, but certainly through these 5 games so far this season? I mentioned there were some interesting comments from Giannis after the win over the Knicks. I do want to re-rack those and get to those. And the other conversation that I'm sure is going to follow here is what happens when this team gets healthy? Because Kevin Porter Jr. comes into the season as your starting point guard. Does that change? And did we just see another version of Wally Pipp here? So we'll get to those comments and a few calls trickling in as well. We'll hear from you after this on Bucks Talk. 120 to 110 final tonight. Bucks beat the Warriors. They play without Giannis. Late scratch with knee soreness, and they get another career high from Ryan Rollins. 1 game removed from 25 points in the win over the Knicks. Ryan Rollins hits the biggest shots of the night, scores a career high, new career high, 32 points. And again, it's defense on Steph Curry throughout the course of the game. The stories in this one. And a game, too, not to be overshadowed. 8 double-digit scores for the Bucks, who are now 4-1 to start this season. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head to the phone lines and start things with Aaron in Minneapolis. You're up first.
Hey, thanks, Justin. Yeah, I love watching these games. So you brought up, like, what happens at KPJ. So what I love about watching the NBA over, like, even the NFL, which is super exciting, we get to see, like, a game-to-game evolution of a team and what happens. So does a game like this, two games for Ryan Rollins, does this change the game plan for the season, what we thought it was going to be? We came into this, you know, the whole summer of like, oh, we're looking forward to point Giannis. Giannis is looking forward to playing point. But this team seems to be, and everyone on the team from the major stars to the bench players seems to be like whatever it takes kind of mentality.
Yep.
And maybe that's okay. Do you see like a move away from point Giannis to, hey, if this is working, we're going to really lean into it, which is something that Doc didn't really want to do last year. So I'm pretty happy about that. So would love to hear your thoughts on all that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see a move away from point Giannis. Thanks for the call, Aaron. And I think it's important to have as many quote unquote points on the floor as possible. Look no further than the final, 2 minutes of tonight's game, where you still saw there was a little bit of shakiness. And when you lost Cole Anthony and it was just down to Ryan Rollins, who is not a true point guard, although as much as Doc Rivers points that out, it's getting harder and harder to believe with some of the things that you see from Rollins on a nightly basis. But you still need those playmakers on the floor. And that, to me, is the biggest part of point Giannis. It's not so much as Giannis brings the ball up the floor every single time. It's just to have a guy that can facilitate and create offensive opportunities for his teammates. Ryan Rollins has excelled at that. I think if there was one question surrounding Rollins coming into the season on the offensive side, it was, can he create his shot enough? Can he not only create his own shot, can he create for others enough? I quite frankly did not think we would see not only what we're seeing now in terms of his output, but what he has done as a facilitator. I did not expect him to make this leap. I can't help but wonder if it's going to be easy to say, well, when Kevin Porter Jr. comes back, sorry, Ryan Rollins is our starting point guard. The more you see, the more I really think Ryan Rollins is staying in the starting lineup, but I don't think it's, for the time being at least, I don't think it's going to come at that spot. I don't think it's going to impact Kevin Porter Jr. I think the conversation then starts to become those two guards that you're playing next to them. Like, do we have to reevaluate this? Here's the tricky part with KPJ too. I just don't think it works as a bench player. And it's not like Kevin Porter Jr. himself doesn't work as a bench player. What I mean is, you've got Cole Anthony as your like facilitator, point guard, energetic scorer type off the bench. If you add Kevin Porter Jr. to that unit, it just feels duplicative. And I still think, as great as Ryan Rollins has looked in this role so far, I still firmly believe his best role is an off-the-ball guy that can spell your point guard. And his, you know, the comp was made to George Hill. Obviously, you would love for his ceiling to be higher than George Hill, but like that type of player that is a combo guard that has defensive ability, that can knock down open shots, and like, yeah, if we need him to play point guard to spell our starter, he can do that, but we like him as an off-the-ball guy. I think that's where I view Ryan Rollins, and I'd quite frankly like to see Ryan Rollins paired with Kevin Porter Jr. because of their length and because that was a group that we saw work for a couple of sequences, possessions last season in that 8-game sample size that John Horst likes to reference. But look, based on what we're seeing this year, it's hard to push back on that sample size. Aaron mentioned a couple other things too about like just the overall vibe of this team and how they play off one another. I do want to get back to that in a second. Let's grab one more call here. Matt in Milwaukee, you're up next.
Hey, Justin. Thanks for taking my call. So obviously, very early in the season, you said it yourself, and we've all heard what like the talking heads and the national media have said before the season started about the Bucks, and it was mostly negative, so I won't waste my time repeating it. But my question is, while those people will be surprised by everything the Bucks are doing and succeeding at, what's been the biggest surprise for you so far? Examples being point Giannis being as dominant as we hoped, the Ryan Rollins emergence, Horst appearing to succeed at making something out of nothing again, or even our ability to go deep into the bench without Giannis playing. So yeah, so with the full awareness that very early in the season, what's been your biggest surprise?
My biggest surprise is that it's worked as much as it has. Like, I expected it to be better. Like, I think a lot of Bucks fans were in this category. I expected this team to be better than they were a season ago. Like, at worst, same seed line, but I expected them to be better because of their style of play. And, you know, the tricky part of the last couple of years is you were just like, it was kind of like going the way of the dinosaur. You were playing a style that it's not how you play in the league anymore. And so few teams were playing that way. At their best, like their fastball, it was still good. But how frequently could you throw that fastball? You know, it was so matchup dependent, and that was the challenge with it. That I think we had so much of a sample size of, what, 2+ years of data to really tell you. And if we're being honest, it extends further than that. Like, I think a lot of complaints that Bucks fans had through the years was the roster construction. And when you look at what they did on the margins, it was always bringing in older players. You know, like Joe Ingles, when he was your offseason signing, bringing back Wesley Matthews for a second tour of duty, whether or not they were still effective players, you just kept doubling down in your age. And it's easy to do when you have a team built like the Bucks were built and with the expectations that they had. But I think we all kind of side-eyed it and said, look, at some point, this ride ends and you got to get off. So, like, we got to move in a different direction here. Miles Turner is a name that came up all the time with Bucks fans. You know, on this show, on the Locked On show that I do, every single time, like, just go get Miles Turner. And, you know, I guess shame on me, and I was proven wrong, but it was always, go get Miles Turner. Well, it's not that easy. How do you think they're going to get Miles Turner? They don't have the cap space to get him. None of us envisioned they'd waive Damian Lillard. But that really seems to have changed just about everything for this group. That's the biggest thing. When I say I'm surprised at how well it's worked, again, I thought this team would be good. My expectation was they would probably be, I think if everything broke their way, I could see them getting a 3 seed in the East. But if you really held me to it, I'd say I think they probably finish where they were last year. They're a 5 seed. Maybe they win a couple fewer games, like they're a 45 or 46 win team. But it's a group that can play different, and you can match up against different teams. And they finish 5th in the East because there's a lot of teams that are lumped in that range. Like, your 3 through 6 teams are separated by a game or two. That was my expectation. And, you know, it's just 5 games. It still may be the case with this group. But I thought there was going to be some growing pains early in the season defensively, because obviously defense is important, but on the ball defense is critical. And when you looked at this group, you said there's no liabilities. I think that was an important step one, that we're removing everyone that guys could just target. And I was talking with someone in Indiana, who's covered the Pacers for years, earlier today, getting ready for Miles Turner's return to Indianapolis. And he was telling me, look, the last 2 years, I know Bucks fans were confident because they had Giannis last year and they had Damian Lillard, and they thought maybe Giannis is going to come back the year prior to that. But we all laughed at you. None of us thought this was going to be close. Like, Pacers fans, Pacers media that covered the team, we looked at it and we said, our team is constructed this way that we can play, like what we're seeing now about the Bucks, different ways. We can push the pace. We're athletic. We look at that team. They're old. They're slow. And I can point out 3 or 4 guys that you say, okay, we can scheme things to get matched up on that guy and attack that guy. And when you start to multiply that, when you have more than one guy on the floor at any given time that's a liability, that's where you get into big-time trouble. So, on the ball, individual defenders are important. And, you know, removing those liabilities is crucial to set your baseline and say, this defense isn't going to be bad, but how good it is depends on who do you have that can guard on the ball. And there was still some lingering questions. And to be fair, I don't think we've answered them yet. about who's going to be that on the ball defender for bigger wings on the perimeter. What we're seeing is we can throw Ryan Rollins on anyone, and Kyle Kuzma has been the other big piece for this team to take on that role. It's a name none of us really mentioned when talking about, well, who is it? Can Amir Coffey do this? Maybe you're talking yourself into Chris Livingston. Nobody brought up Kyle Kuzma. And Kyle Kuzma has been that guy. Kyle Kuzma has accepted a different role and sacrificed. It doesn't matter how much money you're making to apply that term sacrifice. Kyle Kuzma has sacrificed for this team to say, look, I'm expected to be the energy guy off the bench, take on the toughest defensive assignments, occasionally take those shots when I'm open, but try to get to the rim and score there. It's not what I was doing in D.C. It's not what I did when I first came here, where, you know, with the Wizards, I had maybe an unhealthy shot diet, but I could take whatever shot I wanted. It's going to be different here, and I accept that, and I'm up to the challenge. That's been one of the bigger changes for this group as well. So my biggest surprise just ties to the defense, that it's all kind of worked better than I've imagined. And, you know, for as much as we point to it's been five games, I will also add this caveat. Those five games are against Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors. Not only Steph, Jimmy Butler, who has haunted the Bucks for years. And we briefly mentioned this on the broadcast. Kyle Kuzma, I'm going to bring the name up again. Not to say that he clamped down and stopped Jimmy Butler, but the Bucks have not had a player like a Kyle Kuzma to throw on Jimmy Butler through the years. You got that now. The New York Knicks, Karl-Anthony Towns destroyed you a season ago. There was no good matchup on the roster. In this first matchup, the combo of Giannis, Miles Turner, and Kyle Kuzma limited Karl-Anthony Towns to 2 points on 1 of 7 shooting. The Cleveland Cavaliers and Donovan Mitchell, to do that without some of your point of attack guys. So hasn't been the toughest schedule, but it's had challenges, and they have more than held up. So to me, seeing this work as much as it has worked, the proof of concept for this team, that has been the most surprising part thus far. 855-616-1620. The Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. A couple more calls to get to. I do want to touch on those Giannis comments from post-Knicks game and your thoughts as well on what we've already kind of opened the conversation on. What happens when Kevin Porter Jr. returns from that ankle sprain? We'll get to all of that after this on Bucks Talk. 120 to 110, final score tonight. The Bucks take down the Golden State Warriors without Giannis, behind 32 points from Ryan Rollins, a new career high. And not only the offense, the defense, and Steph Curry as well. 8 players score in double figures for the Bucks. Miles Turner scores his high in a Bucks uniform with 17 and goes 3 of 6 on threes. So just, again, it's early, but a lot to like about what we're seeing from this Bucks group so far this season. 855-616-1620, the WTMJ Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head back to the phones and check in with Q and Tosa. You're up next.
Justin, happy Bucks Victory Day. I haven't talked to you in a while, so... good. I love the off-season content, but it's amazing to have Bucks basketball back on 620. This game's a little weird for me because it feels like we were playing ourselves. Like we were an old and slow team that would lose to teams that were missing a star player but had younger and faster talent on their team. And I think that's what carried the day today. I got 2 questions for you. Number 1, do you give more credit to John Horst or Doc Rivers with the early success of this team? And then number 2, what's more likely, that Ryan Rollins is the second leading scorer on this team or he's the 6th man of the year in the National Basketball Association this year? Thanks for everything, Justin.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Q. Okay, so the John Horst versus Doc thing, I mean, it's a chicken and egg thing. Like, we heard the thoughts from Doc at Media Day, and I think a couple of times during training camp too, about conversations that he and John Horst had last season, where Doc said, like, we just knew we couldn't go forward this way anymore. And we were playing too passive defensively. We were doing that because that was the personnel that we had. We were older. We weren't as athletic. And you just, you set yourself up for failure doing that. I don't know how much of that was Doc Rivers educating John Horst on that, how much of it was collaborative, how much of it was, yeah, well, I already knew this and we're planning on doing this. So I think that's a TBD. You know, not only John Horst, like, the ownership group has to be thrown in there as well to sign off on, okay, we'll eat this money. We believe in stretching Damian Lillard if it means getting us Miles Turner, because you believe in this and it's going to help take us over the top. So I think it's three levels that you got to talk about when you're saying who deserves the most credit for it. But that's a TBD. The Rollins question, I mean, I guess I would say second leading scorer, just because I think it's going to be hard to remove him from the starting lineup. And boy, it's funny too, all of the consternation and the criticisms that we heard about Doc Rivers and not playing young guys and what he does with these lineups, and oh no, he's going to start Kuzma and Torian Prince. None of it's happened, and we haven't heard any of that chatter so far this season. So it's interesting to note that. But I just don't, having said it's only five games, boy, I just don't know how you can take Ryan Rollins out of the starting lineup. And if that's the case, he's obviously not sixth man of the year. So by default, I would say the second leading scorer. I do want to mention, I've teased it all throughout the show, I do want to get back to what Giannis said after the Knicks game as we're up against the clock here. So we will revisit those comments and get you set for Saturday. Can this team have another perfect homestand and start the season 5-1 with the Sacramento Kings coming to town? We'll discuss that and wrap things up after this on Bucks Talk. 32 points from Ryan Rollins. No Giannis, no problem for the Bucks, who use 8 double-digit scorers in another career game from Rollins to beat the Warriors and start the season 4-1. The Kings come to town Saturday afternoon. It's a 4 o'clock tip, and we'll see if the Bucks can get to 5-1. I mentioned what Giannis had to say after the game against the Knicks. This is another one of those TBDs, and let's see, was this pointed? Was this a general thing to throw out there? Was there meaning behind it? But he was asked about the team, and especially given it was against the Knicks and all the drama from the offseason, and said, you know, not only, hey, we beat the Knicks, but this team is built to win. We have shooters. We have guys that can defend. We're athletic. But the most telling thing that stuck with me the most, these guys compete. We come to the arena and we expect to win every single game that we play, and reference the Cavs game, like the fight that was in that group. And mentioned that was not the case last year. Now, I don't take that as a personal attack or Giannis singling out Damian Lillard and Brooke Lopez and other guys, but it was one of those, huh, that's interesting. You know, watching this, I would agree. And I think sometimes you need that youth to bring that, of guys that don't know any better and out there to compete for jobs and get that next contract, that those are the guys that have that fight. Maybe not so much an older veteran group that's saying, hey, just stay healthy. We'll turn it on when we get to the playoffs. But it was interesting to hear Giannis put out there, I think, what we've all witnessed with the eye test. 3:30 pregame coverage Saturday afternoon for the Bucks and the Sacramento Kings. 4 o'clock tip time in that one. We'll see if the group can get to 5-1 on the season. As always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will catch up with you then.